This morning I want to preach on a subject with an infamous title. Because I feel there's a real need to preach on this subject, teach on this subject. I've taught on it before, but I feel that we need a refresher. And there are new ones who haven't heard it, and there are old ones who haven't heard it, if you know what I mean. They're still not thinking this way. They haven't got it really, they haven't computed. Hasn't really computed. This is a part one of a series of two messages on legalism. Part one is what legalism is not. Part two, what legalism is. Today I'm going to speak on what legalism is not. You say, well, why speak on what something is not? Because most people think that's what it is. That's why. And so today, if you think any of these definitions and examples are definitions and examples of legalism, my friend, you've been thinking wrong, and we need to throw all that out and get ready for the next session. Now, I will not be here next weekend. If my plans go as they do now, and I think they will, but the weekend following, I will be speaking on legalism, what it is, giving you many examples, teaching you real clearly. This is something that I feel is the most misunderstood and misapplied word of all the common words in Christianity. I do not think that there is a definition in Christianity that is more often used and misunderstood than this one of all the common words that are used. Paradoxically enough, I have been accused of legalism by people not only in the church, but people out of the church and ministers in different places, many, many times, by many ministers and people, of course, who don't even know anything about the situation and don't know any better than listen to rumors. And just hear a one-sided story by somebody who's unhappy. But the thing is, they don't know what legalism is either. And next week I'll be giving you a definition from a dictionary of religious terms on legalism. And we'll be speaking along that line. I have probably preached more against legalism in the last 8 years than almost any minister in America. And I hate legalism. I know exactly what it is. I've seen it. I've been with people who've been legalistic. And it's paradoxical that the one who probably has preached the most against it and hates it has been called a legalist by so many. That's because they don't understand what legalism is. And their attitudes are wrong. I also hate fanaticism. And I have probably preached more against fanaticism than most ministers in America. I have been in fanaticism. I know what it is. And I hate it. And I've been called a fanatic. I mean, and I haven't been called a fanatic, but we have been accused of fanaticism, a church of fanaticism many times. By people who don't know what fanaticism is. I have to deal with that again, too, one of these times. But I will say this. If I had a choice of being a legalistic Christian, which I hate it with a passion, really hate it. But if I had an opportunity, I mean, if I had a choice between a legalistic Christian or a worldly Christian, I would take a legalistic Christian. Because at least a legalistic Christian, he's going to go right by the nitty-gritty, gnat's eyebrow of the word no matter what. And that's a lot safer than just walking out in the world and being one of these worldly Christians. A lot safer. Even if you are dead, carnal, critical, and have no real spirit of life and love, if you will determine to follow this book exactly because God says so, that's a lot better than these sloppy, sloppy, sloppy Christians. And so don't ever, there's so many worldly Christians pointing fingers at legalists who are in better shape before God than they, because at least they're going to follow God's word no matter what. And as much as I hate fanaticism, I would rather be a fanatical Christian than a worldly Christian. Fanatical Christian may go way beyond God, but at least he wants God desperately. He's got a heart towards God. He's striving with everything he's got for it. A lot better than being a worldly. A lot of worldly Christians pointing at fanatics who are a lot better shape than they are. I want to give you some definitions and examples of what legalism is not. Number one, I want everybody to really learn this so that you'll never think wrong and you can help other people along the way. Legalism is not holding high standards of Christianity. That is not what legalism is. God expects us to hold high standards. Jesus said, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." So he's a legalist. He just wears super high standards. That is not being a legalist. Here's a wrong application. These are all typical applications that I've heard. Oh, don't be a legalist. We can have sex. We are going to be married soon anyway. That's like saying, oh, don't be a legalist. We're going to get a deer license anyway. Go ahead and shoot them. Oh, don't be a legalist. We're going to get a driver's license next month. Go ahead and drive. Don't be a legalist. Go ahead and operate. You can get your doctor's degree as soon as you pass the test. The Bible says, but fornication, and the scripture there means fornication or adultery, and there's plenty of others on adultery if you would think that one would be safe. But fornication, let it not once be named among you. Ephesians 5:3. Not once. Not, oh, well, don't be a legalist. We're going to get married anyway. Well, then wait till you get married. Fornication is... I'm going to teach you some things along the way, if you don't mind, besides definitions. Get a mind straight. Because I want you to help be able to counsel right and think and have these answers to give people when you're dealing with you, and so you can think yourself straight. Fornication is fornication regardless of your intentions. Huh? Sure. That's right. Disobeying God before marriage is disobeying God regardless of the fact that after marriage, you will not disobey God in that area. Some people have a lot of fuzzy thinking, especially when they want to rationalize. The fact that you're not going to disobey God later doesn't give you any license to disobey God now, because we're going to not disobey God later after you get married. My, how some people can rationalize. Homes for unwed mothers are full of babies in the wombs of mothers that will never have a father in the first years of life, because of this fuzzy thinking. Millions of babies have been killed by abortions that were accidents of such rationale. See, God sets his laws for good reason, protection. So violating God's laws is a dangerous thing to do, because it's violating the word of God is violating safety rules. It's going out without your safety shoes on and your safety helmet on and without your safety strap on and all of this type of thing. It's violating the rules. It's not checking your aircraft before you fly off, and it's leaving off certain safety things. Leaving the warning streamers off and all kinds of other things. You don't dare disobey this because it's for our protection. This isn't because God's mad at us. He loves us and is trying to help us. You tell your little children, don't touch that, it's hot, don't run, so forth. It's not that you're trying to box them in, or you put me under pressure. You're not being a legalist. You're just trying to protect them. Number two, legalism is not following God's laws carefully. That's not what legalism is. Following God's laws very carefully is not legalism. Some Christians think that if you won't bend and give in to sin, you're a legalist. Here's a misapplication. Oh, quit being a legalist. We can date. I filed for divorce. It will be through soon. My wife has just been holding it up, and government red tape's the only thing that's holding it up now anyway. Is it okay to steal what you're going to inherit later anyway? Some people are very confused. One is married till he is divorced, and not before. The scripture says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities, meaning governments, Titus 3:1. Obey the government. Now, until a person is divorced, the wife has the same privilege of sexual relations with her husband, if they both so desire, even after filing for divorce, without committing adultery. If she files for a divorce, that's only an intention stated. It's not a divorce, it's only an intention. And if she decides to stay with her husband and have relations with her husband, she has not committed adultery in anybody's book. But if she were the same as divorce, she would be. And if they wish to live together again after filing for a divorce, they can do so without doing anything. They don't have to put out one piece of paper to change that intention. They don't have to sign anything. They don't have to retract it. You don't have to do one thing. You file for divorce, and if you decide to live together again the rest of your life, you don't have to do anything. Because that piece of paper means nothing until you sign it. And if it's not signed, it means nothing. It has no legal force whatsoever. Therefore, it has no moral force. You don't have to go down and say, I changed my mind, what form do I fill out? You see, don't do anything. Just don't come in and sign it. Now, you see, what I'm trying to say is, if that had some legal force, and if you therefore had a right to do a thing because it's the same as getting divorced, then you would have to file some piece of paper to cancel that legal action. But you don't have to. It is not true, therefore, that filing is the same as divorce, like some people try to tell the one that they're dating when they're still married after filing. And if they decide to remarry, what about the dating that went on between? Now you got a problem. Now you got a problem. They decide to come back, why there's been that dating though? The state authorities, which are, is one government, one nation under God, authorities set up by God. The state authorities have decided that it was wisdom in this state, they decided it was wisdom to have a 3-month waiting period. Because people cool off, they change their mind. Now, God says to put them in mind to be subject to principalities and governments. All states says that all legislators have said, we feel it's wisdom not to be given divorces and having them taken, remarrying, and giving divorces and remarrying, because so many people all get mad and they get a divorce and they change their mind and they cool off and get back. So we're going to have a cooling off period. So we are under the laws of the land, so we ought to follow it. That is authority, and God respects and counts that. Now, what if the dropped spouse, the one who was dropped and somebody ran off, they got all emotional and over emotional, she ran off and left her husband, and he'd been dropped, so he says, well, it's the same as divorce. So he runs off and goes with his girl, and he falls madly and desperately and passionately in love with her. Then the wife finally gets over her super emotional state, and she comes to her senses, and he didn't want a divorce in the first place, only she did. Now she wants to come back, and now he's got some girl he's fallen madly and passionately in love with on his hands, and a wife he still loves, and now he's trapped. See what happens in cases like that? Many Christians accuse those who won't compromise of being a legalist. Here's another wrong application. Oh, come on, you're just being a legalist. The pastor will never know. Besides, I don't agree with him anyway. Yeah, those things, they happen. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit, for they watch for your souls. The Greek is, be persuadable to them that have the rule over you and submit. Be persuadable. Put your heart in a place of being able to be persuaded and then submit. So many people don't submit because they won't not be persuaded. And even if they're not persuaded, they won't submit, whether they are or not, because they have an unpersuadable spirit and an unsubmissive spirit. But not agreeing doesn't make you right. There are people that think if they disagree, that makes them right. Well, I don't agree with them anyway, so we can do this anyway. You not agreeing doesn't make you right. And even if you are right, you have no grounds to disobey God-given authority. You may not agree that the law says you can't go out and hunt deer year-round. I mean, you might feel like this is God's country and they have no right to do that. But you have no right before God to go out and poach, because the government has set the rules and God has put us under the authority of government. It doesn't make any difference if the government isn't perfect. It doesn't make any difference that there are people that are not Christians up there. That has nothing to do with it. The Bible makes that very clear. And they stated that right at the time when Rome ruled. And the Rome wasn't the holiness movement. And even if the pastor will never know, that fact doesn't erase the sin of disobedience. Besides, the pastor knows many things that the pastor will never know. You know what I mean? You might be surprised. Number three, legalism is not strictness of church rules. Strict church rules is not legalism. Here's the wrong application again. That church is legalistic. They don't allow women to wear feminine slacks to church. That's got nothing to do with legalism. Nothing to do with it. Well, by the way, P.S. ladies, split skirts too. Now that they're in vogue, all the way up the leg. Don't do that in this church, please. Keep everybody's attention focused right here, not on your legs. Up to the podium and to the Lord. Paul said, now, if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom. He is saying, we don't have this custom, neither the churches of God, and therefore, even if you disagree with what I'm telling you, you are to follow it on the grounds that we don't have that custom, and we set the rules here. The Bible says, obey them and have the rule over you. Now, a church has a right to make any law that it feels is best. Understand that. It may not be right, it may not be balanced, but that's beside the point. They have a right and an obligation to make any law that they feel is best. Now, this does not make it legalistic. Now, they may be legalistic, but this does not make it legalistic. Even too strict of laws, too austere, too controlling, unwise laws are not signs of legalism. That is not what legalism is. Legalism is not being too strict. People have different standards and different opinions. Legalism, everyone that's less liberal than you is not a legalist. There's a lot of people running around calling everybody less liberal than them a legalist. But that is not what a legalist is. Somebody who has a different judgment of how to act or behave or where the rule should be. That is not what legalism is. If they change the speed laws to 20 miles an hour, that's not legalism. It isn't. If we say you have to wear boots to church, that's not legalism. Legalism is not somebody with a different opinion, or even a stricter opinion. Legalism is not requiring everyone let's put it this way. If we say we require that everyone support the work of God here, that as a growing church, we find that unless everyone gives a fair share, we cannot continue to build to the growth that's demanded upon us. In the Sunday schools and the Christian school and the Bible college and the church, the constant growth with these inflated prices and so forth, unless people give equal to the very minimum that God required in old covenant days, and if we say we don't believe that people should give any less in the days when God was to write his laws in our hearts and when he wrote them on stone, and the work of God in the very last days when the greatest evangelistic program in the face of the earth is to be launched, and the church is demanding it by the number of souls coming in, and that we have a desperate need for it, and if everybody will give percentage-wise, that makes the poor person even better off. The only two ways to do it is to say give percentage-wise, or give equal dollar-wise. If we say give equal dollar-wise, if people don't have much money to give, they're really in a bind. You're really in a bind. And if we say give percentage-wise, that really is benevolent. I mean, that really is being easy on you because you're getting the same dinner as the rich man for less money. So what more can you ask? And if he pays 1% of his day's wage, or maybe 10% of his day's wage for that meal, and you pay 10% of your day's wage for the same meal, I don't think you should, pardon the expression, bellyache and ask to pay half of that. I mean, you're already getting off easy. He pays $5 and you pay $1. I don't think you should rebel and demand that you only pay 25 cents, you're already getting a good bargain. And if they can't afford the silver any cheaper, why should he pay more? Because you've got less. God set up the principle of percentage, and I think if we follow that, it's as fair as you can get. And that's not legalism to require it. When the church sees that it cannot go further unless the people do this, and then when it gets loaded with people, there's no way to ever get more souls and ever have any more growth because the people won't give. And so it's necessary because then people come in who will give and you have to turn them away. To turn away people who won't support the work, don't care enough about it, to really put it in and trust God, won't have enough faith, that's not legalism. It may differ from your judgment, but it's not legalism. And a church does have a right to make any law that they feel is necessary. And the Bible does say in Malachi that we have robbed God if we have not paid our tithes and offerings. And he also upbraided the lack of faith. Because, see, why didn't they pay? Stinginess, fear, lack of faith. Faith, they wouldn't make it. They lived hand to mouth. They weren't rich people. I mean, they had their problems. Many of them were in debt. God didn't say, those who are not in debt do that. He says, you trust God. The principle is, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And he says, you pay that. You bring it to storehouse and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you so much that you will not even be able to contain it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He's trying to show them if you put God first, he will take care of his people. Now, I know people say, well, I tried it for 3 months and it didn't, so I dropped it. I know, because you were not giving. You were investing. That was your problem. You weren't giving. I still believe God will take care of his own regardless, if they will give with a free and honest and open heart and trust him. If you give because you have to and will not trust him, then you're not going to get the same results. If you give grudgingly, you'll not get the same results. And if you give investingly, you'll not give the same results. Now, number four, strict church discipline is not legalism. Here's the wrong application. They are really legalistic. If you sin, they put an elder on your back, and if you won't repent and obey them, they put you out of the church and inform the body of it. They even tell your name, and they tell people to have no fellowship with you. That is really legalism. They don't have that right. I've heard that. Now, all I'm doing here is just teaching so for right thinking of what the real definition of legalism is and what it really is, which I'll be explaining to you and give you many examples of what legalism really is so you can really recognize it. Because so many people are calling all these things legalism. They got nothing to do with legalism. And so you won't think your church is legalistic. And so you know how to handle things flying in, but they're legalistic, then they say so-and-so. And you say, yeah, they do that. Therefore, they must be legalistic. You don't stop to consider that maybe their definition is wrong. If we're going to help people, we'll have to need to know, understand. The scripture says, now we command. Command? Are you going to be legalistic? Control? Paul said, now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, commanding in the name of the Lord Jesus already. Yes. You know. Commanding them in the name of the Lord Jesus that you withdraw yourselves from every brother. He didn't say withdraw yourself from every sinner who never been saved. From every brother. Somebody who's been a brother. From every brother that walketh disorderly, out of step, and not after the tradition which he received of us. Not after, that doesn't mean under the non-scriptural practices. It means under the doctrine and the teaching that we have established. He said, if they don't walk in step with that which we have established as leaders of this church, you are to withdraw yourself from that brother. And if any man obey not our word by this letter, this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 and verse 14. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others may feel also. 1 Timothy 5:20. Rebuke before all. Tell their name. Now you see, the problem is too many Christians are making up their own rules of what is right and wrong and how to run a church. They stand back and put their hands in their hips and get defiant and say, they ain't got no right. What do you mean we've got no right? We have a command from God to do those things. Rebuke with all authority, he says. He says to put them out of the church. He tells us what to do. It's paradoxical that if you follow the word of God, you get charged with being legalistic and having no authority and no right. Strange. The problem is people don't know the word. The trouble is they have taken the brainwash of the world, and that is their criteria. And they run around judging preachers who are called of God, careful to follow the word of God, who know the God, word of God, and they run around not knowing the word of God, charging preachers by the brainwash of the world. Strange, isn't it? Number five, complexity of church operation is not legalism. Here's the wrong application. Our church is sure legalistic. They make us write a separate check for college and a separate check for Christian school. The college, Christian school, and church all have separate budgets. They're all tied up with red tape and legalism. Now, red tape is not legalism. Complexity is not legalism. Inefficiency is not legalism. Inefficiency is not legalism. The problem is that rebellion, more laxity, and laziness have gotten so bad that many people, if they have any requirements laid upon them, or if they have to put forth any effort, or if they can't give in to any lust of the flesh that they want to, feel they're bound and mistreated, over-controlled and abused, and then they accused of unfairness and legalism. That is the real problem. It's sloppiness, worldly brainwash, Babylonianism, and Laodiceanism. That is the problem. Now, the management has a right to decide what procedures work best for them. That is not legalism. Decide office procedures, and it may take you an extra check or two, but that's not legalism. That is what they considered what works best and most economically and most efficiently. And they may not agree with your opinion, but maybe your opinion is not a studied opinion. But even if it is, I'm amazed at how many unstudied opinions are correcting studied opinions. But regardless, that's not legalism. Number six, legalism is not doing good works. Here's another misapplication. They are sure legalists. It is not enough for them to avoid sins. They preach and practice good works as well. That's legalism. The Bible says salvation is not of works, lest any post. Now, this is a very common idea, especially in certain circles. But, my friend, there's a lot more to our lives than salvation requirements. We are not doing good works to get saved. That would be legalism. We are not doing good works to be saved. We are already saved. To do nothing but the bare necessity in order to get saved is selfishness and lack of love toward God. Say, don't do that. You don't need that for salvation. Salvation is not of works. So it's not of works. So why can't I go ahead and do works? Salvation is not giving somebody a hot lunch. So, but why can't I go ahead and give them a hot lunch? Why can't I do good works? Salvation is not giving somebody a ride. You can't get saved by giving somebody a ride to Bible college. No, of course not. But why can't I give them a ride to Bible college and do some good works? There's so many people running around so afraid of good works. For fear you might be legalistic. For fear you might be trying to earn salvation. Mine. We do good because we are saved. We do good because Jesus reigns within. We do good to please Jesus. We do good because we love Jesus. We do good because it's right. We do good because it works good for all. We do good because it honors God. We do good because God commands it. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said. And what are his commandments? Be careful to maintain good works. Titus 3:8. God says he's coming to purify a people zealous, zealous of good works. Titus 2:14. Red hot to do good works. That's what he says. He'll come to purify those people because they want to do good. I didn't say, and he didn't say, to do good to earn salvation, but to be good because God lives within you and God is good. Number 7, hatred towards petty sins is not legalism. And I'll put a writer to it. Hatred towards the world is not legalism. Here's a wrong application. He is a real legalist. He doesn't watch TV, smoke, drink dinner wine, say gee gosh or darn. He won't read a book but has bad words in it. May I submit that a person has a right to shun what is distasteful to him without being a legalist? Legalism is not holding is not somebody holding standards higher than you would. Legalism is not carefully and accurately obeying God. That's not legalism. Some people think if you obey it accurately, you're a legalist. But if you kind of sloppily, then you get a balance. Some disobedience, you know, keeps you balanced. Now, fully complying with the laws of church authority is not legalism. It's called safe. There are too many Christians that are moving into Laodicea in the mind and the heart. Laodicea means the rule of the people. It's what God says would be in the very last church. And the tribulation church is that rule of the people that comes from rebellion. Well, you can see it all around us. Everybody, it's the thing of the day is to rebel. Pastors are rebelling against the word of God. They're rebelling against God. God says homosexuality is a sin. They say it's an alternate lifestyle. God says that the Jews sinned and rejecting Christ, and the Catholic Church came out and they've exonerated the Jews. How can they exonerate the Jews? God didn't exonerate the Jews for doing that. They decided to let them off the hook. They can't let them off the hook. They never, the first place is God's got them on the hook, not them. They don't. God says there is no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. They come and take all the blood out of the songs of blood out of the book and say, we don't want this slaughterhouse religion. They're going into homosexual churches. There's all kinds of things. And they were rebelling against God. Pastors rebelling against God. They were, Bible says to do it that way, but, you know, our diocese does it this way. That's no excuse. Because you've got a rebellious headquarters, there's no excuse to disregard the word of God. Because, well, everybody's calling no man father. Well, everybody's doing it. That's no excuse. I know it's getting popular to commit adultery and to rob and to steal cars and siphon gas, but that's no excuse. That doesn't let you off the hook. Too many Christians think that the church has no right to exercise authority, but God's given it to it, authority to it, has told it to, has set it up. Too many Christians think authority is legalism, and it's not. Too many Christians think authority is a burden, and it's not. And God in the Old Covenant, he got very upset when his people, when they began calling the laws of God and the rules of the priesthood and the preaching of the prophet a burden. He says, you say not it is a burden. He said, you say it's a burden, and he said, I'm going to destroy you. He said, it is not a burden, and I will not have you saying again, it is a burden. He really waxed strong in that chapter in the Old Testament where he told them, you quit saying it's a burden. He said, my laws are not a burden. But so many Christians think that. I'm all boxed and hemmed in, all these burdens. I just got all this weight. I got all this, One of the people who left the church went out and said, "Boy, it still feels good not to have to do everything perfect anymore. Not to have perfect church services. Still feels good not to have perfect church services. Instead of aiming for the highest you can get, sure feels good to just, let somebody get up and wander all over the map and say things he doesn't know what he's talking about, and let the babes teach everybody else come and listen to the babes who don't know anything, and let everything be, let the services be all full of, get dressed and come all the way down to listen to things that don't edify." I mean, beautiful. See? Some people have an amazing lack of spiritual sense of the move of God and what he's trying to do. It's one reason God's given pastors, because all the sheep don't always know the way to the next pasture. Too many Christians think that authority is a bad term. Oh, authority, authority, authority. Safety rails on the side of the highway bluff, Right. Too many Christians think that authority is binding. It binds them. I'm going to tell you, if you didn't have any authority in this nation, in fact, this nation is losing its authority, the policemen are having a terrible time. The all the way to the police station, they'll be raided by the person they're hauling in. And they are giving them a rough time. And they can't do this, and they can't do that, and all of this, and I tell you, and the judges let them go, and the lack of authority is ruining the nation. And it's putting the people in a very difficult spot. Very difficult spot. If this nation clamped down with super authority on every thug, every person trying to steal, every person trying to break in a home, if they got really tough, it'd be a lot easier to live in this land. I don't know why the criminals should all go free and everybody else have to build high walls to heaven to protect themselves. Some people think that if they can't sin freely and be without restraint, that legalism is binding their spirit. They say, "I don't feel free. I feel all pressured. I feel all hemmed in." Why are you rebelling against God? Anybody who will rebel against the Word of God while trying to walk under it will feel pressured. Sure. Any school kid that goes to school and rebels against the teacher while trying to exercise authority is going to feel boxed in. Feel pressured because he's rebelling against it. Any kid who's rebelling against a Sunday school teacher feels pressured. Well, boy, they just pressure me in that place. Sit down, quit turning around, go do this, quit talking, quit throwing spit wads. Keep quiet when the teacher's talking. Heavy. Well, I tell you, we're living in a rebellious age. That's why I hate that old television set so much. Brothers and sisters are fighting like crazy. And then dad comes in and says, "Now, kid, stop it." Mother says, "Oh, dad, leave him alone." And then grandma runs in the other room and says, "Yeah, dad, leave him alone, son. Leave him alone." See? And they teach rebellion. And then the little brat comes off smiling, looking good. And then dad ends up being a dumb clunk who doesn't know anything. See? Finally, dad and mom learn from 11-year-old smart aleck kid. I tell you, I don't know why people let their kids watch that stuff. It's just like feeding your kids nitro and glycerin in the opposite days. You're going to blow them to pieces. I'd be more careful if I were you. What you're feeding them. He said, "Come on, Johnny, now get your vitamins. You have to make sure you get your vitamins in case all this food you've been eating all day doesn't have enough vitamins." And they sit in front of the TV set and say, "Watch." Boy, I can't believe it. If you care for the body that much, how about caring for the mind and soul a little bit? Well, you won't. That's free. No extra charge for that. Legalism is not hating sin and the world. It is not carefulness of life. It is not praying of, "Oh, he's a legalist. He prays all the time." That's not being a legalist. Feeling you must take time out for prayer and other things of God is not being legalistic. "Oh, he feels he has to do this, and he has to have a mission, and he has to, then he has his Bible study, and he has to..." Boy, he's sure legalistic. That is not being legalistic. That's being busy in ministry and training. An ordered life is not legalism. following a list or a budget is not legalism. Oh, he's got a schedule. Boy, is he legalistic. That's not legalism. He just learned that he has so many things to do that if he will follow the schedule, he'll get more done in a day. He's called an efficiency expert. They pay him high wages other places. He goes right by a budget. Come on out and blow. Have this big meal up at Snoqualmie Falls. It only costs you $16 or whatever it is. And I'm not saying anything against it. I don't even know what the price is. But I was up there years ago, and I know they feed you about five times too much, and you pay for it. And both ways. And somebody took us to breakfast up there one time. No, I'm not saying anything about going up there. You go up there if you want to. So it was me. But because somebody doesn't feel he's got enough money to go up there, oh, don't be a legalist. See? He says, I can't afford to go up there. I still owe them some money, and I got to be careful with my budget. That's not being a legalist. Legalism is not striving to die to self and live for God. Legalism is not turning down parties and fun to keep an appointment or to keep a promise or to pray or to minister. Oh, I'm sorry I can't come tonight because I got this ministry. Oh, don't be a legalist. Come on over. He's not being a legalist. He's going out to minister. And that's just more important than what you want him to do come over to your house for. Legalism is not keeping your word diligently. I promise him, oh, don't be a legalist. Lie a little bit. Then you'll be balanced. And you won't be legalistic. It's just amazing how people don't think through the implications of what they're saying. Refusing to compromise, even a little bit, is not being legalistic. Keeping every tiny law of God, every jot and tittle, as it were, and of the church, and of all legal authority and delegated authority, is not legalism. Refusing to jaywalk when everybody else is jaywalking is not legalism. Oh, come on, everybody else is doing it. That's not legalism. If he decides to obey the law, if he decides that maybe it's not safe, if he decides maybe a policeman might see him, or God might see him, or his conscience might see him, and he decides not to, that's his business. He owns his own 2 feet. You don't own him. That's not legalism. Running a tight ship or a tight church is not legalism. Having a church real in ship shape and all the sailors you're saying, yes, sir, and popping right to and at the battle stations in the time of battle and keeping all the valves turned right and keeping the ship smooth and clean and ship shape is not legalism. Come on, folks. Ships like that win wars. A lot of rules and procedures is not legalism. Now, I don't like to have any more rules than you need. I always like the big fat books to go through and streamline them and get down to what you need. I worked in a firm one time and we threw the whole files overboard. But I didn't do it without authority. But I asked the supervisor, I said, let's throw these files away. They're not doing any good for us. Well, he was afraid to. So we didn't. So I asked finally, we looked on. Another fellow came and replaced him. I said, let's throw these things away. Well, he was new, so I don't know. Call the boss down at the office. So I called the boss and the boss says, we got all files. If you don't want yours, throw them away. I don't care. I said, it's good. And I said, he said he didn't care. And he said, okay. And he took me to just dump them in the wastebasket. And it helped us because they weren't doing anything good. Get rid of a lot of paperwork. I don't believe in a lot of red tape and paperwork, but it's not legalism. Maybe an efficiency. Maybe they haven't thought through enough to re-streamline. You can just keep adding law to law and more paperwork to more paperwork. Maybe it doesn't work for you anymore, but it's not legalism. Now, in the next session, I will be telling you what legalism is. Today, you know what it's not. Now, next time I'll show you what it is, really is. And then you'll be able to be clear on the matter.